this morning's service. And if you weren't, go back and listen to that message. I wanted you to understand one of the biggest points that I wanted to get across, and I know I'm not going to go back and preach the whole message, but what I wanted you to do is get this, the things that you and God do behind closed doors, the thing that you do with God on a regular basis are the things that you're going to do in front of people. But it's going to be the time and it's going to be so much more with God behind the scenes. And you'll never be able to do something with God in front of a bunch of people up on a stage in a platform if you don't do it with God on a regular basis behind the scenes. And let me say this, if you do, it'll get gross. It'll get weird. It'll get about you. Amen? Did y'all get that? I hope y'all took that away. I hate to go back and doubt myself on some of this stuff. When he was singing that song, Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 is where we're going to be. When he was singing that song, there was a part in it. It said he'll take you, something like that. He'll take you farther. Then God just said, start writing this down, and I can't even read my own handwriting. But I wrote this as fast as I could write it. Have you ever heard this as the devil? The devil will keep you longer than you want to stay. You ever heard that? God said, write this down. I'll keep you for eternity. I don't know about you, but I kind of like pep rally stuff. It's kind of, God was just hitting the drum on this right when he was singing that. And he told me, says, he will take you further than you want to go. You ever heard that? The devil will take you further than you want to go. God said, hey, I'll take you all the way to heaven if you let me. And this is the one that really got me. And I was writing as fast as I could write it. And God said this. He said, he will cost you more than you want to pay. Anybody want to finish that one for me? He paid it all. He just whispered and said, I paid it all. I don't cost you nothing. Man, oh man. Has anybody here been under the tax program of the devil? And they said, what do you mean? When you sin, he taxes you. And man, the penalty is heavy. And Jesus over here saying, I'm free. And I'll set you free. I'm free. Golly, I don't know, but man, the whole time coming up as a non-Christian, I kept thinking, man, it's hard to be a Christian. It would be hard to be a Christian. Man, it's hard to be a lost person. I tried it for 30 years. It's hard. It's easy. I don't like this. It's easy to be a Christian. Nah, life ain't easy, but it's easy to be a Christian. Golly, I wish I could go. I just almost want to go like 1985 Underoo Christmas Kevin on y'all. Amen. Skeletor and He-Man Underoos. 4:30 in the morning, eyes wide open, running down a little hallway, turning into the living room, Christmas tree with them little silver sickles hanging off of it. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't do that stuff no more. It's not politically correct to have silver sickles and stuff hanging off your tree. We had gaudy trees. Help me, Joy. Preach, it'll be all right. We had gaudy trees. Hey man, when you were a kid, we had gaudy stuff. We didn't have pretty tree. We had stuff kids made. You put it on the front, not in the middle or hid it. We didn't try to make everything match. Golly. You went in there and you looked at God. You're like, goodness gracious. Had popcorn on the tree. Ripping them presents. My goodness. Didn't care what. No, you ever seen the pictures from Christmas back in? Hair jacked up, underoos on you, pushing them dump trucks around the living room, screaming at the top of your lungs. Man, I ain't never seen nothing like this before. Woo! Oh, no, I'll keep preaching. Listen, when we were kids, we didn't get gifts every week. We didn't get something every month. The motto at my house was, wait till Christmas. It's January, Daddy. Wait till Christmas. So when Christmas came, Man, my brother's 3 years older than me. Man, we were jacked up. All know. My dad's in there working, putting stuff together. Back then, you worked hard and had a little bit of money. Man, we'd run in there. We're screaming at the top of our lungs and ripping those presents over, and we had them presents. And listen, that's how easy it is. You open the gift of Jesus Christ. You just take him, and he takes you. It's the greatest gift, because none of his gift, it ever devalues in price, man. It only gets better. I don't know where the gifts of 1985 are, but I do know where the gift of August 28 of 04 is. It resides in me. Amen. Woo. That's, we got that off a song. Praise God. Matthew 14, verse 1. Y'all ready? I don't even really know what the title is this. I've had like six of them, so maybe we'll find it in the middle of it. Matthew chapter 14, all I know is the message is good. So let's get in this. Matthew 14, 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in the prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Herod had killed John. I want you to make sure you understand what I'm talking about. John is dead. John the Baptist is dead. But his message is still resonating. Amen? He did such a good job that the king thought, man, I will get rid of the messenger. We'll go to that in a minute. But what he did is, listen to this. When Jesus came, he thought, man, the messenger's back. I want to say it this way. After the preacher, write this down. After the preacher, Jesus is coming. You hear me? After the preacher, Jesus is coming. I don't like what the preacher said. I don't like his message. I don't like how he shouldn't preach this, shouldn't preach that. He shouldn't say this, shouldn't do that. Listen, if you don't like the preacher, guess what? Jesus is coming. Amen? Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, it's going to be harder to deal with Jesus than it was the preacher. Now, I'm not talking about charlatans. I'm not talking about heretics. I'm not talking about money preachers. I'm talking about gospel preachers. I'm talking about people who preach into your life, and because of your sin, because of your wickedness, because you're in a state that you're not right with God, because you've backslidden, because God and you've got an issue, you're mad at the preacher and not mad at your sin and not mad at yourself. That kind of preacher. The one, when he preaches, it's almost like God's got an arrow pointed over your head in the sermon going, hey, I'm sitting right here. Don't you hate it? Don't you hate it when you get to church and the man's preaching and all of a sudden it seems like God's got an arrow pointed at you and you're sitting there going, I can't seem to hide from the gaze of his eyes. The words are hitting me in the heart. I've changed seats. I changed locations. I didn't come back for a while, but when I came back, he hit me again. Well, if you think it's bad dealing with the preacher, wait till Jesus shows up. Wait till Jesus shows up. Because Jesus came preaching the same thing that John the Baptist came preaching. He came preaching repentance. Jesus followed it up with repentance. Jesus sent the New Testament church out to preach repentance. And guess what? If you don't repent, you'll meet from a man named Jesus who said, did you repent from your ways? And you'll look at him and you'll say, what do you mean? I knew who you were. And he'll say, no, I know you knew who I was. The devils know who I am, and they tremble. Amen? The devil knows who Jesus is. Every devil in hell knows who Jesus is, because the devil's been whooped by Jesus. Every demon in hell knows what time it is. Every time Jesus kicked one out of somebody, it would say, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Most High God, why are you doing it? This is not your time. I think Jesus was just saying, I just wanted to just say it out loud where somebody could record it in the Bible and let people know that you know who I am. You don't know there's a time. Praise God, you better understand that there's a time. The message resonated. Some of you think, well, if I can just make it to church, if I can just make it to my teens, if I can just make it to this, if I can just make it through life, then I won't have to deal with the message. I hate to tell you, but the message resonates. The message resonated so much with King Herod. I don't know. I think John came and said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. And King Herod probably thought himself a little boastful and said, hey, John, what are you talking about? What do I got to repent from? I'm the king. And maybe he said something like this. Hey, King Herod, maybe you should come off the throne and let Jesus be the king of your life. Maybe God would say the same thing to you. Maybe you need to come off the throne of your life and let Jesus be the king. And King Herod said, what? I don't have anything to worry about. And he goes, yeah, you do. See, right now, you're involved with a relationship with your brother's wife. Man, is he bold or what? I bet everybody in the kingdom knew about it. Everybody knew what was going on. Nobody would say something. But hey, the man of God stands up and says, well, if you really want to know what you need to repent from, it's from that relationship right there. It's ruining you and them and everybody else. And guess what he said? Yeah, you're going to jail. You're going to jail because I don't like the message. See, what he said, now listen, I want y'all to get this. What he said is, I want the messenger to depart from me because I don't like what he said. See, you might not have the power to put me in prison, but you do have the power to shut me off, amen? You can stop listening. You cannot pay attention. You don't have to show up. You can make sure you don't write down, I ain't going to pray. I ain't coming on some more Sunday night messages. Amen? I'm not going to be there for that. If that's the way it's going to be, I'm not showing up, right? I'll run away from that. I'm going to get away from that, right? But God's better than that. After you hear it the first time, see, we don't have to. That's the problem in American church. We get too much message. We got too much seed. You get one message, it'll do you. Amen? Repentance. He said, repent. You know what? It done this. What happened is as soon as it come out of John's mouth, it hit Herod's ear. And when it hit Herod's ear, it vibrated. Amen? Because he had an eardrum. And then all of a sudden, it went into his cerebellum. I don't even know if that's correct. I'm wading out of my water. Amen? It hit his cortex, brain. Somebody just said, say brain, Kevin. It's all right. It hit his brain, and then it went into the compartment of short-term memory. And he said, oh, this is good. I heard about this. Good message. Hurt my heart. Don't like it. But then all of a sudden, it transferred from the short-term memory to the long-term memory. I don't know how it does that, but it did. Amen? And then he done away with the messenger, but then all of a sudden, praise God, this message that came out of the mouth, the message, if it comes out of the mouth, will not go out void. That's correct. It's got to have, see, words are seeds. Oh, man. Words are seeds. When you throw the seed, it's going to land somewhere. Somebody told me, well, words are just words. You're crazy. Amen? You're insane. The word come out of his mouth, and it hit his ear, it vibrated, went into his brain, and it all of a sudden become a memory. Amen? Listen, I think it's in the Bible, it says it like this. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what it meant. It cuts asunder, amen, through bones, tendon, flesh, and everything. So, God. The word of God came out of his mouth, and before he knew it, it had cut him so deep in his personal, in his mind, in his body, it got in deep and didn't even leave a wound. Well, let's not say that. It didn't leave no blood. Amen? It cut him, but it didn't leave no blood. But it does wound, don't it? The Word of God does wound. That's why I love the Word of God so much. The gospel means good news, but when you first hear it, it hurts. Because it is good news, but the good news means there's a way out for a sinner who's lost, who don't have to pay the sin debt that he owes. There's good news. Somebody paid the sin debt already. The bad news is you are the sinner, and without salvation and without that payment, you will be eternally separated in a place called hell forever. That's the bite. That's the wound. Because you're all good. You're like, I want Jesus. Yeah, I need Jesus. I love. Everybody loves Jesus. Artists praise Jesus. Superstars talk about God. Everybody says, I just want to thank Jesus for all my talents and abilities. But they don't want to say, wait a minute. But wait a minute. Turn from your wicked ways. The music and the ability God has given you, the talent to sing the song is God's. But the words are yours. Change the words. Glorify me instead of yourself. I'm sorry. Well, that's just not what I'm willing to do. Oh, never mind. I just started preaching about the world. Amen? But see, when the word comes in, it gets you in that place and it wounds you. And if you let it wound you right, you'll ask for the correct healing. If you don't let it wound you right, you'll try to get away from the word as quickly as possible. You'll try to make distance between you and the word. You'll fall in love with what you're supposed to get rid of and hate the thing that's there to save you. Amen? I love this. For John, it is not lawful to have her. Verse 5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him a prophet. Listen, stop trying to be a Christian with everybody else, okay? Stop trying to be a Christian that tries to go with the world. If God's good, he's good, and if he's bad, he's bad. But listen, if you really love Jesus, it won't matter what the rest of the world's doing. See, what he tried to do is he tried to say, wait a minute, I don't like it because Jesus preached something into my life that I'm not supposed to have this woman in my life. I want to destroy him. But he couldn't destroy him because everybody else believed that he was a prophet. When Jesus was brought up before the governor, amen, Pontius Pilate, he wanted to do something with him, but he had to listen to the people. He wanted to set him free, but the people were screaming, crucify. So he justified what he did by the group. Amen? This man's sitting there going, I don't want to get rid of him because he's a prophet. I know it's wrong in my heart. Some of you come to church on a regular basis and God keeps punching you in that. He keeps wounding you. That sword keeps going in and you get broken and you're like, man, I need to do something with this Jesus. I mean, I want what he's talking about. I'm not like that. I'm not sold out. I'm not excited. I'm not hungry for the things God, and I don't hate my sin like he's talking about. Then all of a sudden, he says, man, I want to do something with him, but I can't. Some of y'all are saying, well, I'll do something with Jesus, but I just can't. But I know it's wrong just to totally rebel against God. Amen? Y'all good? You ever been on that? I've been on that teeter-totter. I want to go wild in the world. Yet I know it's wrong to do that because I've heard the word. Amen? And you just kind of teetering. Anybody ever been teetering? Anybody in here ever just teeter back and forth? And you're in that place. Listen, the devil and God requires you to make a decision. Whew. The devil and God. God and the devil. Amen? Watch this. Verse 6, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and he pleased Herod. Wait a minute. Ain't this crazy that this just fell on his birthday? Ain't it? Jesus comes along and reaffirms what John the Baptist had said, and he could give him a rebirth, born again, right around the same time that his birthday's going on. But all of a sudden, the devil comes along and says, wait a minute, let's party. Come with me, let me show you. Listen, y'all might want to write this down, and if you don't write it down, listen on the video or the recording and write it down. Listen, when the devil sees you teetering back and forth, maybe going to fall with God, maybe going to fall with him, he has an amazing way of reselling you on death and sin. He is so awesome at coming, and even though you've been dying and struggling and hurting, he's got an amazing way of bringing back the good parts of sin. I know I said it. Well, you know, good parts of sin. Sin for a season seems good. There's some things in sin that feels good to this flesh. It equals death, but it feels good. And he'll come back and he'll sell you. He'll show you something. Amen? No matter if you felt it, no matter if you've been through it, no matter what you've been, if you've been through the hardest times of life through sin, he'll set it out there again. And guess what? You're like, oh, man. Listen, Herod is right on the borderline. Turn to Jesus. Turn back to my old ways. And all of a sudden, somebody said, hey, King, it's your birthday. It's your birthday. Sorry. I'm about to. Party like it's your birthday. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Sorry. Somebody by grace should help me out. But all of a sudden, the music starts playing. He's like, man, it's my birthday. I deserve. Listen, I want y'all to get this. It's my birthday. I deserve one more run. Golly, ain't nobody going to listen to me. I deserve one more time. Man, I'll just do it this one time, and I'll come back to church. I'll just run with them, and I'll come back. I'll just go out one more. Hey, just one more time. It's my birthday. Right? Man, I don't know if you've ever dealt with sin, but I have. I've been there before. I can justify just about anything. Well, you know, it didn't go my way. I'm going to do this. It didn't go my way. I'm going to do that. It's your birthday. Oh, gosh, it gets weird, right? How many of y'all say it gets weird? But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and it pleased her. Ooh, what? What just happened? His stepdaughter. I can't even, it won't compute. Amen? I wish I was somewhere else preaching this right now. This is uncomfortable. Herodias' daughter, the music started. Something that he should never even be looking at came out and started dancing in front of him. And guess what? He's going further away from God. Oh, golly, they won't listen. It's like you think, well, God, I'll just go out for that one more run. I'll just go out for that one more thing. I just want one more take. And that thing's crazier than you ever thought of doing. I never, y'all. See, what the devil wants you to do is he wants you to step past that thing, and see what he's going to do is he's going to get you in a situation where it's more embarrassing and more wicked and more devious than you've ever done before. So when you do that, it's hard to come back. It's hard to come back. See, your intention was, I'll go over and do it like I used to do it, and then I'll come back. But sometimes when you step out and go over with the devil says, I think they would go back. I'm really going to slam the trap shut on them hard this time. I'm really going to slam it shut. That way, if they did want to come back, they're going to come back different. Golly, man, I wish I could see this just come back limping and bloody. And can I say it? Just a little bit weird. Huh? Just a little bit weird. You lost something that last time. I can't explain it. It's not exactly where I can just write it down for you, but I'm not the same. It's not easy to come back. The devil gets in your ear and in your mind and says, you go back now. They ain't never going to forgive you. They ain't never going to look at you the same. You did what with your stepdaughter? Huh? You did what? You did what with her? You did what with him? You did what? Oh, never mind. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? You did what? Listen, everybody in this room, listen to me. If you're still living around that sinful life, there are some things we always, I'll never. There's some 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids in here right now saying, I will never do X, Y, or Z. And guess what? The devil's plan for you is to get you to do X, Y, and Z until you don't have no problem doing X, Y, and Z. And at the end of that, he would like you to put a gun in your mouth and blow your brains out. That's what he wants. That's his plan. That's what he wants. And Herod said, I was just going to go over here and have this party. And then maybe I'll go and down in, he probably had it in his mind, I'll just go down and I'll sneak down into the prison and me and John the Baptist, we'll have a conversation. Huh? We'll just go down there and me and him, we'll just talk it out. And maybe I'll just surrender to this message of repentance. Verse 7, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Have you ever overpromised and underdelivered? Have you ever made promises that you couldn't keep? Have you ever said stuff you wished? Oh, let me say it this way. This is even better. Have you ever said stuff that you wish you hadn't ever said? In a moment when the devil had you up on the high place. Oof. Huh? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you will. When he gets you up to that place, you know what? He seen her dance. You know what he said? I could hear him out of, whatever you want, you got it. He didn't ever expect what her response would be. See, the devil, he's good at this game. Because what he was thinking is, she's going to ask for part of the kingdom. What she'll want is some money. Oh, y'all, I really want to preach right here if y'all help me. What she wants is some power, some influence, some money, some control. Oh, man, her mom's always wanted power. Man, they're going to want power. But what does the devil want? What's this? And she said, verse 8, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be and given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it unto her mother. What does the devil want? And I'm going to try to tell you this and close right here. Here's what the devil wants. He don't want to give you money, power, influence, popularity, any of that stuff. What he wants to do is cut the head off of the thing that's speaking life into your death. Amen? What he wants is to destroy God ultimately. See, we're living in a country right now, and we're sitting here going, man, why in the world is Hollywood, why in the world is the government, why in the world are certain people so bent on taking this stuff away? Why is it so important to them? Because they're not operating on the behalf of themselves. They're operating on behalf of the devil. And what the devil wants is for God to be taken away and for him to be put in charge. And for you to be in chaos, your life to be in chaos. Because I'm going to be honest with you, here's where I'm going to close this. Herod had one opportunity, and he had one party to go to. And he took the opportunity to go and sin one more time. And his whole world, he ended up killing one of the greatest men of God that's ever been spoke about in the Bible. Amen? And he lost his opportunity. Amen? And I guarantee if you ran into this man in eternity, if you spoke to him in eternity, he would look at you and say, I wished when I had that opportunity, I would have ran down into the prison, threw my crown down on the ground, and laid it before him and said, I repent of my wicked ways, and I'll never be the king anymore. I want this Jesus you speak of. And I'll leave this woman, and I will follow your God. Amen? I guarantee you, say, well, I don't believe you. I guarantee you, if we could speak to him in eternity, he said, man, I had one shot. I had a preacher come. I had a prophet come. I had a witness come. But then Jesus came. Guys, listen. You get a preacher, not a very good one, but you get a preacher, the next person you see, for some of you, will be Jesus. You got an opportunity. You got an opportunity to change all your wickedness for all of his righteousness. All your sin for all his glory. Amen? And all you got to do is come and say, God, forgive me. Give me that free gift. Be like that kid 1985, who ran in there and just started ripping open presents. There's a present laying up on these altars for everybody here. He's Jesus, the gift of salvation. Scott, come on. Everybody stand.